Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and there's a new report out that predicts the global market for gluten-free products will top $6 billion by 2018. It's growing by leaps and bounds as more people take gluten-free to mean healthier. Whether that's true for the one-third of survey respondents who claim it, it is certainly the case for anyone with the autoimmune disorder celiac disease. And the damage caused by eating gluten for those people is not limited to indigestion. Actress Jennifer Esposito is here on her campaign to raise awareness about the disease. She has opened a gluten-free bakery in the East Village and has a new book, Jennifer's Way, My Journey with Celiac Disease, What Doctors Don't Tell You, and How You Can Learn to Live Again. You might remember her from the TV shows Rescue Me or Samantha Who or most recently Blue Bloods. Welcome to WNYC, Jennifer Esposito.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
And you have quite a list of symptoms in the book.
Oh, yeah.
If I may run through a few. Sleeping close to 13 hours a night and waking up exhausted, constant stomach problems, raging panic attacks, joint pain, buckling knees, extreme weakness, yellowing skin, canker sores, sinus headaches, numbness, tingling, weak hair and nails. You had all those things from celiac, you believe?
Et cetera. Yeah. Yes. And that's one of the most misunderstood parts of this. The symptoms, that's why I sometimes don't like to talk about the symptoms, because they range incredibly from, I know people who haven't had any gastrointestinal problems at all. And then people who have had only that. You know, a woman that I knew recently, she had no problems until she tried to have a child and realized she was infertile because of celiac disease.
So give us gluten 101. What is it actually, and what is it doing to people who are susceptible?
Well, gluten is a protein found in wheat, and it's a natural component. But unfortunately, people with this autoimmune disease, they can't digest it. And what happens, it starts to kill the villi. And the villi are in charge of absorbing nutrients and giving it to the rest of the body. So basically, your body starts to turn in on itself.
That's in the small intestine, the
yes,
villi, right?
Yes, yes, in the small intestine.
And there's a simple test, isn't there? Can't you just get a test from your doctor and you are either celiac positive? It's called SPRU, right?
Yeah.
Celiac positive,
yeah,
or celiac negative, and yeah, you can find out yes or no?
You know, I'd like to say it's that easy. It's not, though, because, I mean, this went on for me for 20-something years, and I wish it was a simple blood test. Yes, you can have a blood test, but 9 times out of 10, sometimes they come up false negatives. So the true way to get a diagnosis is from an endoscopy, and even then it has to be done correctly. The entire circumference of the small intestine needs to be biopsied. So it's, you know, it's a tricky disease to find.
Listeners, do you also suffer from celiac disease? What do you wish more people knew about your disease? Do you have advice or tips or favorite substitutes for others who have to avoid gluten? Or any of your questions for Jennifer Esposito? How did she do that on Samantha Who? No, not that. 212-433, maybe that. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. If you want to call in on this, Jennifer Esposito's book is Jennifer's Way, My Journey with Celiac Disease, What Doctors Don't Tell You, and How You Can Learn to Live Again. 212-433-9692. So are you basically on the paleo diet where you avoid anything a hunter-gatherer wouldn't have eaten? Because I know there's a theory here, mm-hmm, that humans didn't evolve, mm-hmm, to be able to digest grains, mm-hmm, in, mm-hmm, general, mm-hmm, in the first place. Mm-hmm. The human body evolved before agriculture began, mm-hmm, which, you know, in evolutionary terms was 10 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. It was 10,000 years ago.
Right.
But before that, people weren't eating wheat. People weren't eating rice. People weren't eating barley.
Right, right. You know what? A lot of people have a lot of success with paleo diet. I tend to eat, you know, fruits, vegetables, and fish, absolutely protein. But I do put in there some grains because I am allergic to so many other things that I was allergic to chicken at one point. I'm allergic to eggs. So the paleo diet for me was difficult as well. So.
And some grains have gluten and some grains don't have
absolutely,
gluten, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm talking about the grains that I have. It's like quinoa and millet and brown rice. The grains that do is rye and barley and wheat.
So you started a gluten-free bakery.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious if the popularity of going gluten-free is making life easier in that so many more foods are available. Mm-hmm. Stores have sections. Do you know, I was at Yankee Stadium the other day, and I saw they have a gluten-free stand. I think it's basically the hot dog without the bun.
Oh, my goodness.
But never mind that. It was advertised as gluten-free eating at Yankee Stadium. But it also seems like more of a preference, you know, than when you get to that, like, oh, this is a way to improve my tennis game or something.
Exactly. That's where I believe there's an enormous problem happening, because a lot of people say, you know, it must be so much easier now. And it's actually harder because, like you said, you know, everyone's talking about the fad, and it's not a fad for us. So what happens is when they start labeling everything gluten-free, you don't understand, it's 1/8 of a teaspoon that can get us sick and kill the villi. So that has to be pure, made in a gluten-free environment. And a lot of those things are slapping on the label, and we're getting sicker as a community of celiacs.
Oh, so you're saying there's a lot of false gluten-free.
False, or they just don't understand how strict the guidelines have to be.
Depending on how sensitive the individual is.
Well, it's 1/8 of a teaspoon no matter who you are. That kills the villi. That's a tiny amount.
Erica in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Erica.
Hi, Brian. I am a longtime lactose intolerant sufferer, and I diagnosed myself with that. I eliminated milk, then I found I was having problems with my stomach. I eliminated all wheat, and I find all my joint pains went away. Everything went away. And it was very hard to find gluten-free items because I love bread. And lately, I see Target carrying gluten-free bread, and I am so happy because I am glad now that it's becoming mainstream. You can find gluten-free pasta in the supermarket, in Pathmark. It is wonderful because I find when I eat anything with wheat, it's almost like if I was eating cheese.
Erica, thank you very much for your story. And, yeah, I guess it's one of those things, Jennifer, like with a lot of conditions, mm-hmm. where – now that people are actually coming out with it, mm-hmm. right? It's mm-hmm. not like it wasn't there, mm-hmm. and we don't know if it was there in the same proportion that it's there now.
Right.
But
right.
it's not like it wasn't there.
Right.
But now people are talking about it, and so the marketplace is offering folks options. And, you know, Erica there talks about, well, yeah, now I can go to Pathmark. Now I can go to Target, these mainstream places.
Right, right.
Well, I don't have to go to Healthalicious, where, you know, Michael Grimm allegedly ripped off his employees.
No, but
it's a different story. But I'm mixing all of the stories.
No, but it is true. But for her, it didn't sound like she had celiac disease. So it's a different thing. A gluten intolerance. It's still severe, but you're not going to kill the villi, you know, that's in charge of taking nutrients.
Mark on Staten Island. You're on WNYC. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Brian. I suffer from celiac disease, and one of the symptoms I had was extreme itching and sores that mirrored each other. Like on my shoulder blades, the back of my knees. I guess I should have been more proactive in finding out how I was, but it was extreme itching. And you mentioned the products, the manufacturers are really making a killing because a pound of pasta, gluten-free pasta, is triple the amount of, say, Ronzoni, regular pasta. And the breads are also extremely expensive. So they're really making a killing, the manufacturers.
It's true. And it's a great question. Like with any specialty mm-hmm, project mm-hmm. Product, the prices will often be higher just mm-hmm. because it's a specialty product. Mm-hmm. We don't know if it's more expensive to make bread without gluten.
Well, I will tell you, in my bakery, it is, because I'm not using a lot of companies will use potato starch and starches. I don't use that because I figured I already have an autoimmune disease. I need healthy. So we use things like quinoa and millet and amaranth flour and teff flour. And I have to tell you, to make a good gluten-free piece of bread, it takes a lot. We use chia seeds and chia flour. It's a lot of different grains, and I only go for organic, so it is more expensive. It unfortunately is.
We put one of your recipes on our website, mm-hmm. by the way, for people who want to see it. That's your pumpkin hazelnut chocolate chip pancakes.
They are good. They are good.
And so if that isn't enough to entice somebody to a web page, I don't know what is. Jennifer Esposito's pumpkin hazelnut chocolate chip pancakes, gluten-free, at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. I read that you lost your role in Blue Bloods mm-hmm. because of your celiac disease. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
It's partly true. I mean, there's a long story there, but I will just say that when I was – going to do the show, I thought it was part-time, and that's what I was led to believe, because I was still really, really not well and recovering and healing. And 3 years later, I was very much full-time, and I just started to need that schedule that I originally agreed to and didn't want to change it. And my body started to just say, okay, well, if you're not going to stop, I'm going to stop. So it was – but it was a very misunderstood situation too. You know, I was getting questions like, are you sure you're sick? You don't look sick. Things like that. And that was really upsetting to me.
And that happens to a lot of people with a lot of digestive things.
Yes.
You know, irritable bowel syndrome, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think celiac is more accepted now. But, oh, is it all in your head?
Absolutely.
Especially when the patient is a woman.
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, because I was told that for probably 25 years. 25 years telling me, maybe you need Prozac. And I was like, no, I'm sick. Something's wrong. And it's not a good feeling to be told that after so many years.
What do you do about dinner parties and restaurants? It's so complicated sometimes. And, you know, the host of the dinner parties roll their eyes. Oh, I have one who's vegan. I have two who are gluten-free. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do just to have my friends over for dinner?
You know what? I cook everything. I make everything. But you know what? You can have a wonderful meal that is just naturally gluten-free. There's fish, there's chicken, there's beautiful vegetables out there that you can have a gorgeous dinner party and still appease all those allergies. Because if you notice, so many more people have so many allergies these days.
Jan in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jan.
Hi. I just want to sympathize with
Hi, Jan. Don't call us. Talk to us.
Hi. Listen, I just wanted to sympathize with her for being misdiagnosed. I took me to 30 years old before I figured out that something was wrong. But what was really great was doing a DNA test and seeing the tendency is actually in the DNA. And
absolutely.
I was finally able to say to my doctor, look, I'm four times more likely to have celiac disease than, you know, than other people.
You mean you did 23andMe or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. And what was great is I haven't got an increased tendency for anything else other than this. But I did suffer for, gastrointestinal problems for a long time.
For three decades till you figured it out. Yeah, so runs in families.
Absolutely.
If there's a DNA
absolutely
marker.
And that's a great way to find out, because still I get emails all the time from people saying, I know I have this. I've been to my doctor a million times, and they tell me, you don't have it. And they won't test them. And that's outrageous. So if you come in and say, listen, I have the markers for this, then maybe they can get a diagnosis.
So where's this bakery of yours?
It's on 10th between Avenue A and 1st.
And what's it called?
Jennifer's Way Bakery.
And what are some of the things that people can buy there?
Oh, my goodness. I make everything that I used to love as a kid, everything from Pop-Tarts to bagels to Italian bread to raisin pecan bread to cookies and cakes and pie and tarts and everything.
Do you spend time there yourself,
or
are you just
there.
The owner?
Oh, no, I bake. These are all my recipes. This is because I couldn't eat, and as an Italian, I was not happy, and I taught myself how to do this. So,
up at 4 in the morning like the old-time bakery owners?
Really? Oh, yeah. I'm there. Every weekend, I'm there.
You still act?
I'm not at the moment, no.
Want to go back?
Not right now.
Jennifer Esposito, see her at Jennifer's Way, is that what you said?
Jennifer's
the name of it?
Way.
Sorry. And that's the name of the book, Jennifer's Way, My Journey with Celiac Disease, What Doctors Don't Tell You, and How You Can Learn to Live Again, like eating her pumpkin hazelnut chocolate chip gluten-free pancakes recipe on our webpage. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.